Homily for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, July 24th, 2022, St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks. Today is an observance in the Church of the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. The Dicastery in the Vatican of Laity, Family, and Life has composed a prayer accompanying this day, and I would like to share that with you as I begin. I give thanks to you, Lord, for the blessing of a long life. For to those who take refuge in you, grant always to bear fruit. Forgive, O Lord, resignation and disillusionment, but forsake me not when my strength declines. Teach me to look with hope to the future you give me, to the mission you entrust to me, and to sing your praises without end. Make me a tender craftsman of your revolution, to guard with love my grandchildren and all the little ones who seek shelter in you. Protect, O Lord, Pope Francis, and grant thy church to deliver the world from loneliness. Direct our steps in the way of peace. Amen. It's also important, I believe, to mention that the Holy Father is embarking on an apostolic visit to Canada for the very important purposes of helping to bring about healing regarding scandals that have happened in the church in that nation. And so we pray for his health and his safety and for the success of that visit. There's hardly been a more successful country music artist at the height of his popularity than Garth Brooks. One of his biggest hit songs was a ballad entitled Unanswered Prayers. It goes back to the late 1980s, but many of you may remember the story behind it. The main character comes back home and runs into his old high school flame at a reunion, a lady for whom he had a big crush once upon a time. Back then, he prayed to God, begged and pleaded, really, that the two might fall in love, but it never happened. Later on, he married and had a family, completely forgetting about her. At that reunion, he realizes that here and now he is truly with the woman of his dreams. And so in the chorus, he sings, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers." The story itself is very touching, but theologically, it's awful. The premise of it drove some of my seminary classmates crazy. Does Garth Brooks mean to say that God on occasion becomes an absentee landlord? Should we thank God because he ignores us? That can't be the way it works. Today's readings spur us on to persevere in prayer. They also point out the difference between being a person of prayer and a person who prays. Those two things sound the same, but they aren't. We'll talk about what that distinction means in just a moment. First, let's examine the words of Jesus in this gospel. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This generous promise sounds like a magical formula. Instead of feeling emboldened or comforted, many who hear these words become cynical and jaded. There is plenty of injustice to go around. Just think of all the poverty, the disease, and the bad breaks in life. Jesus knew this every bit as well as we do, and more so, when we consider the high mortality rates 2,000 years ago. None of that stopped him from insisting that our Father delights in receiving our prayerful petitions. And in response to Garth Brooks, all of them are answered, although not always as we hope or expect. I once heard someone say that every prayer request receives one of three answers: yes, no, or wait. Our wisdom is a limited, finite wisdom compared to the wisdom of God. We do not understand why the problem of evil remains in the universe created by a God who is perfectly one and perfectly good. There's no concise explanation anyone can give you, except that God has something better in mind for us than what we are considering. Whatever else happens, We are not to stop asking, seeking, and knocking. Jesus uses a parable in this gospel to model for us the tenacious attitude we should have in prayer. To understand it better, it's helpful to know something about the construction of the average house in that era. Glass windows or small hinged doors were luxuries available only to the select few. Instead, most houses had a large central overhead door. When the family retired for the night, they would close the door and secure it with a plank. Once it was shut and left alone. To open it up in the dark of midnight was an ordeal. Whereas we would become grouchy in that circumstance, our loving Father never does. We are not in a position of having to plead with God, as with an indifferent neighbor or a hostile judge, when we ask for what we need, whether it be bread or justice. Today's first reading from Genesis is a dramatic way of making the same point. Concerned about the destruction that God had threatened against wayward Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham decides to take the risk of bargaining with God. Won't God spare these cities if Abraham can find only 50 just people in them? When, to his surprise, God agrees to the bargain, Abraham is emboldened to lower the bar to merely 45 and then 40, but his courage runs out after asking God to spare just 10. In fact, there is no hint in the text that Abraham had exhausted God's patience, and one could well argue that his only mistake was to have stopped when he did. The lesson to learn here is that God doesn't mind our asking such questions. Whatever prudence might require when we engage in dealings with our brothers and sisters, this should never become an excuse for our giving up on prayer. As the story turns out, only Lot's family was virtuous, and God called on them to evacuate before the city was destroyed. How many people have had fathers who were very strict with them? How many times have they heard their dad say, "I told you once and I won't tell you again. No, you can't do this or you can't have that." When they said no, they meant it, and don't you dare ask again. In contrast, what did Jesus teach us in today's gospel about his Father? Ask and keep on asking. It's not because God doesn't know what we want or need, but our persistence helps to create a dialogue and build our relationship with him. The overall goal here is to move beyond a stage of occasionally throwing out petitions in God's direction and to become a person of prayer. There is much more to the life of prayer than asking God for particular things that we need. Jesus' apostles know this, and that is what fuels their initial request for the Lord to teach them how to be men of prayer, like John the Baptist had done for those who came to him. Take the Lord's Prayer as an example. Only one line of it is a petition for material gifts. Give us this day our daily bread. And even then, it restricts us to our rightful share. Those who only pray that they'll hit it big can't help but walk away disappointed with Jesus' lesson on prayer. Sometimes we meet people who have given up on praying, and they cite many reasons for this. One might, for instance, feel unworthy or guilty and think one shouldn't bother God with mundane concerns. Another might doubt whether God could ever forgive them for all the things they've done wrong. Still others might feel small and unimportant. Given the vast size of the universe, how could God possibly devote time and attention to our prayers? One might doubt God's power or knowledge of our affairs, or one might even be angry at God and doubt his goodness. But I think that in many cases we define our prayer lives too narrowly. Real prayer does involve asking God for what we need, to be sure. A full prayer life also involves adoration, worship, and giving thanks. Considered in its full scope, a prayer life needs to have an element of sorrow for sin and genuine contrition. as well as an element of trust that God answers our prayers in the very best way. If I only consent to pray once in a great while when I'm in a bind that I think I cannot get out of on my own, how is that honoring God? Rather, isn't Jesus leading us to be people of prayer who draw strength from the Holy Spirit day in and day out? Remember that at the beginning of this gospel, Jesus was absorbed in private prayer. Out of all the other things he could have been doing, Jesus spent a wealth of time in prayer. He identified the obstacles that stood in the way of a solid prayer life and dismissed them. If you want to be a person of prayer, follow his lead. Don't let the competing influences around you gobble up all your time and concern and divide your heart. Now, I mentioned a certain song at the beginning of this homily, but I want to remind you of another song, a famous hymn, which puts it this way: "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that you need will be given to you." Amen.